You have to do an introduction.
Sometimes I smoke.
Any sponsors?
You gotta
throw it to a sponsor.
Like to thank our sponsors at the Comedy Club of Kansas City.
Oh, that's how convenient!
How convenient!
What a closed loop! What a financially closed loop you're running here
for sponsoring this show.
We bought ad space. It's tax deductible ad space that
on
we
Meta
paid to ourselves.
Absolutely.
We're also tax. Why don't comedy clubs register as churches so they can avoid taxes?
Oh, my God. I mean,
like, well, honestly, how
preaching the word of funny?
How it seems like such an easily abused loophole by churches
to claim tax exempt.
Yeah. For being a church.
For being a church. Is that church and state? Is that kind of blend? Would that blend that?
Well, okay. Now I'm not even trying to make a point. How did it work when?
I don't know.
Well, I remember going to see like all ages punk shows
like
in church basements, but
I don't practice Judaism. I have no idea. I'm like,
I don't practice it. I master it, dude. Master Judaism.
I don't even want to tell people I'm Jewish these days. It's so scary.
Yeah, I hope Dustin Kaufman doesn't. No, I hope nobody
Kaufman
knows. But if I went to all these all ages shows that were in church basements, but people took money, they had to rent out the space. If you're like, oh, it's a church, but we do a comedy show on the side, I'm at the point now, and not the thing you say on a podcast, but I'm so frustrated with the state of the world that I want to figure out any way to not pay taxes. By the way, cut my check to my spiritual institution. The diocese at Kyle Kinane.
You live in Oregon. Is there state taxes in Oregon?
There's a lot of taxes in Oregon. Washington had no income tax. I think they just flipped it because that was the hack, was you live in Vancouver, Washington, was across the river from Portland. So you'd live there, pay no income tax. It's no sales taxes in Oregon.
Okay.
So any big purchase, as long as it's not a car where you got to register in a state, furniture, electronics, and that, you buy it in Oregon, but you live in Washington. So that was the tax hack. But that's now squashed because they now have income taxes in Washington.
In Washington?
And that's why like the CEO of Starbucks is leaving, or allegedly why these people are leaving.
I mean, I could see that. It's a lot of money. You know, states like Nevada and a lot of Florida that don't have that.
Yeah.
A lot of people will buy and register a car in Florida and then, like, bring it back, especially if they have, like, vacation homes or something.
Yeah,
like
but how much money do you have to also want to live in Nevada?
Probably a lot, right?
Like, how much money would still make you go, like, yeah, I guess I'll live in Nevada.
Nevada. I couldn't think of any cities in Nevada that I would want to live in.
I guess people are getting weird in Reno.
I was just there.
What?
Okay.
Tell me, where's the new spot that's, where are the weirdos moving to?
I don't know.
Well, it was supposed to be Austin.
Bro,
it was supposed to be all these places. Is it Reno? We got to move to Reno?
No, I don't think so.
And that's why we got to go. Reno's going to suck, everybody.
I stayed at the casino, man. And this is like, and it was like gorgeous there, right? And then like when you're leaving there and you see the rest of the town, you're like, well, I know where all the money's going.
But you get Tahoe and everything over there.
Yeah, it is close to Tahoe. And that's really cool. And, you know, and snowboarding and things like that. But
where am I going to go in 5 years?
Where do you want to go? What do you want to do?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Are you not going to retire, are you?
I don't know. Not retire, but not pursue this as how it seems as I need to pursue it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay $25,000 a month so social media can make me famous. I just want to be real good at stand up. And then if I, you know, which is subjective,
it's
tonight wasn't the best example. Wearing my airplane clothes, all sweating on stage. But I would like to find a foreign bride.
Are you frustrated with the, like, is it the conversion of the industry? You find yourself kind of just, like, frustrated?
I don't want to sound like the old guy that because things are changing, I think it's bad because it's not what I'm used to. But that is also how I feel. So I have to reconcile, like, well, you can't just be a comedian anymore. You have to be a producer, director, videographer. You have to be all these other things, or pay a large sum of money to have all these other things in place. Headliners that are bringing out features that might be fine, but they're also videographers. So as soon as they get off stage, they're handling three cameras. Everybody's taping a special every night. And I don't want to keep up with that. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying I, at the stage of the game that I'm in, as we were talking about earlier, I need to refocus what I'm grateful for. And I got a house and my cats, and I live in Portland, and I get to take time off and ride bikes and hang with my friends in the Pacific Northwest all summer. And if America falls, I would like to have some sort of contingency plan put in place there. Foreign brides. Half joking. No, I don't know. I try to not get
vacation to the Philippines.
No, I'm not that kind of, not that kind of creep. I want a full grown woman that talks back to me. I would like to love to be a component. Close second, citizenship somewhere else.
Russian bride.
And somewhere else in a first world country. No, I don't know. I thought, part of me thought, could I stand to fuck off and just live in a condo in Hawaii? It's still America, but it's not. But then it's a Pete Holmes bit. Anytime I'm thinking something, there's always a Pete Holmes bit that comes in like, nailed it. And it's about him going to Hawaii and just being like, we shouldn't be here.
Everything I want to do, he joked about.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, we're just there with our sunscreen floating off our bodies in the ocean. Is this a Wailea? Leave. Get out of here. Like, that is exactly the feeling.
He's your personal Simpsons did it. Pete Holmes already joked about it. Can't do it.
He really is.
Well, you like have the idea like, I would love to do this. And then like, I can't. He joked
Well,
I don't want to live out a Pete Holmes joke.
Well, it's one of the, when I go there and be altruistic, we talked about Bronger travels, and then during the day, during the weekends, he does charitable work. And maybe he doesn't want people to know that, so we're saying it.
Last time he was here, he went, he actually has talked about it on this show before.
Okay.
So, yeah, he went to a thrift store and he did volunteer work at a local thrift store last time he was here.
So he is giving, he is one of the few people that at least I'm aware of that's actively giving back on weekends. Like, being a comedian's all about me, and it's tough to reconcile whenever somebody says like, oh, your comedy really got me through a tough situation. That is great to hear, but that is never the motive. Nobody's that altruistic. Like, I'm doing comedy in the hopes that it gets people. It's like, no, it's about me. It's about making me feel better and me feeling accepted. And so to hear Bronger go like, oh, yeah, I give back.
Do those things keep you going?
What?
Or do you care? Does it? I mean, you like hearing it. Like, you really got me through this time. I mean, those things do.
No, it's amazing. But it's a byproduct.
Yeah.
It's never the intended
result. What happens through this.
And it always stuns me that it helps people. I'm like, oh, shit. At least what I'm doing isn't making anybody's life worse. Or trotting on a marginalized group.
I don't know. Comedy's pretty subjective.
Well, okay. But if anybody's, I'm sorry. If a billionaire's life is worse because of my comedy,
yeah.
I am not, there's no love lost. If a billionaire or a bigot or any of these groups of people that I make fun, their lives are worse. Good.
Good.
Their lives should be terrible.
I've done my job.
Their lives should be the worst that they ever have been. And they're nothing but succeeding. Their lives should be horrible. What do you think Aaron's doing guest spots? Openly calling for, like, not a buck, I shouldn't say it like that. But him saying, like, yeah, if I got brain damage, maybe I'll be like, oh, yeah, that healthcare CEO had a family. Like, that's why he does it, because that's the stuff. My whole bit about, which I don't know if I should, just if you have a terminal disease, you should be making a difference in the world.
And you think this is funny, Kyle? No, I'm kidding.
I don't think it's hilarious, but I think the sentiment.
These are the kind of things you joke about these days.
It's not so much a joke. I think the sentiment is like, hey, man, if I can seed the field of thought. No, all right, let's not incriminate myself. Too late. No, I'm sorry, like,
so you're stuck behind social media. And
no, but I'm not going to do bit, like, I think anybody who's a subject of my bits well deserved to be the subject of much worse than just comedy.
I like that we're making social media clips about not, like, doing social media.
I didn't want to do this.
I know. And you know what? Can I be real with you?
Yeah.
I love doing this, and, like, I think it's great for the club, and it's really cool that the people that I sit at this table with and the conversations I've had are phenomenal. I hate asking comics to do this.
Yeah.
I hate it because the position it makes me feel, I feel like one of those people who just want things. So, like, then, like, when you're just sitting there having, oh, here's Dustin, he wants something. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't want that relation. I don't want my comics to feel like that.
I will respond. First off, it's not that I don't, all podcasts, I have an existential issue with how much of this is, how much of this communicate, what result, what's the physical result of this?
For us?
How many satellites are in space? So fucking honkies talking about nothing can bounce up to the stars and back to nobody listening. That's where I get real existential about how many podcasts are out there. How much physical detritus?
I don't know. She's going to Google.
You know what? If three of us don't know, I'm not going to feel bad for throwing it out. It's detritus. But detritus sounds colder. Fuck.
Google. Was that Google?
Well, so exactly. Me not knowing how to pronounce that word is going through electricity to be recorded, to be shot to fucking space, people to come back down to nobody.
People maybe, don't how know
many
words.
People, for the effort that this is going to go through, how many people are going to listen to it?
For us,
and that's not an indictment of you. This is an indictment of all podcasts that are just, what if we were just hanging out?
For me, it's about, for us, it's really about the content, the social media content, the shorts, the real.
I know.
That's what it's about for us.
And I, in the zone, I'm having a great time. This is a good conversation. If you were like 30 minutes, I would sit here for 2 hours if you don't stop me. It's when I sit there and think about how much inconsequential
garbage is just recorded.
Shit. Not to say that this is. Or it's,
no, we could it, say
but, well, it's,
let's
but
say it.
But it's subjective.
Sucks.
But it's subjective.
Fucking sucks.
Like,
why are we even
like
here?
Comedy, it's subjective. And do I feel this way, or do I feel that calling it out really puts me on the outside of the podcast comics? Because I don't want to be. I think so many comics are now podcasters, where doing stand up is this. I do this on the side to make some money, and I don't want to be that person.
When, I mean, and you know, I've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, and it goes in hand with what you're saying, but the reason we started this, I mean, we were running TV ads. What the fuck? What a waste of money. And so we're like,
TV.
The whole radio, the TV, like, and nothing works. We're like, okay, what is driving the industry? And it's content, podcast, clips, right? So, like, that's, like, all right, well, let's put our money into those. And so, like, I mean, that's why.
No, and that's why these comics.
But the byproduct is I get to hang out with people like Kyle Kinane for a half hour. But that's just the byproduct.
But that's where my, if I'm going to.
And I get to go, Jeremy, Kyle's doing the podcast, buddy.
If I'm. Yeah, you got me. You want to do a podcast? Ugh. It's when I love it when you go to a city and people are like, do you want to do our podcast? No, we have all the equipment. We'll come to your hotel room anytime you say.
Oh,
where
God.
So now the only reason I'm saying no is just flat out because I don't want to do it. So you haven't allowed me a humane exit.
In theirs or here?
No, well, here.
No, I mean, I.
You're stuck.
Because
now.
I can bust your balls.
You're stuck.
Yeah, you're signing the check at the end of the week. I can't say no to this. You're the boss.
People say no.
This is exploitive. This is harassment.
People.
This is podcast harassment.
Yes, you're harassing me.
Well, you want to get that paycheck at the end of the day. I'd much rather you just grab my ass or something in the kitchen. I'd much rather. I mean, I'm not trying to
admit. No, then you're going to tell other comics, and then I'm going to be the club.
Where just let him grab your ass. You don't got to fucking go up to the weird murder room.
He'll always bring you back.
You don't have to go up to the fucking a bondage storage container above the club. Talk about the state of the industry.
And then there's going to be somebody like, he didn't grab my ass. What the fuck?
Andy didn't ask me to the podcast. Well,
how are your ticket sales?
How were you dressed? I don't want.
He hates khakis. Hates khakis. Why would you wear khakis?
Like, you called to cancel the hotel room for the feature. And looking at you, it sounded like you should, but really, I mean, you're like, I think, do I sound kind of like, hi, well, like, thanks so much, all right, no probs. And I'm like, oh, looking at you, of course you sound like this, but on the phone, you sound like a I'm dipshit. Like,
hey, I really appreciate
I know, but it doesn't sound like that without, what this, I was without the visual.
It's like, yeah, thanks, bitch, I appreciate it.
Well, no, you were just like, all right, absolute love it. And
was not like
a yeah, because you sound like how you look, but without the visual, like, I've never met a more flippant motherfucker in my whole life about asking me to do him a favor by canceling a room. But then you're like, oh no, you're 100% that dude. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing that you match that easygoing vibe.
Thank you.
I was complimenting you.
Thank you. I said thank you at the end. I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it.
It didn't sound like you were
convinced. Even before you said compliment, I said thank you.
All right. As long as you know I was on your side.
I know.
You said after you hung up, like, do I sound sarcastic?
Usually that's a good thing. I've had to learn how to take a compliment. I was terrible. Love your shirt. Are you calling me fat? Are you calling me fat? Like, so self-conscious.
Yeah, it doesn't sound. I have a hard time with it, too. Like, why would you just say something nice unsolicited? It's either sarcastic or you want something from me. Well, that's an upbringing issue.
I get a lot of compliments on shirts. Is it small talk acknowledgement? But even from strange, like,
but you dress fun.
Okay, so people want to comment on that. Yeah,
yeah, you do make some choices that are like, look at this fucking guy.
This guy's.
You got fun glasses.
I like them.
Big old beard, fun hoodie.
You don't wear glasses. I think given the opportunity, I mean, I could go get LASIK surgery. Or maybe my eyes are pretty fucked.
I did get LASIK.
Did you? I think I've grown accustomed to liking the facial flare. I don't think I'd want to stop wearing glasses.
You can keep wearing them.
Never. I would never be that person.
How much hair you got under that hat?
It's in a middle phase right now, but it's.
But you got a full head of hair?
At the moment.
So that's appropriation.
Yeah.
I need a hat.
I hate the middle phase.
You don't need to look at anybody. I get people that have good chins that have beards.
Yeah.
Stolen valor.
I have a dimple in my chin. I have a chin dimple.
Oh, you got the John Hamm. You got the most desirable chin a dude can have and a full head of hair.
Hair. I'm grown. I don't. It's either long or then I cut it off. But even when it's long, I just pull it back. I don't know what I'm doing with myself anymore. I don't care.
I'm saying if I had hair,
what would you do?
Going ape shit with it.
Doing what? I had a mohawk recently. Loved it.
Long flowing hair, dude.
I mean, it's growing back out. I just don't like my middle. Long, so long. Would you really?
Yeah. The long? Yes.
You can grow what hair you have out.
Oh, so I can Ben Franklin this shit?
Fucking the shit out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's there? A single going Ben Franklin out there? Anybody want to bang a forefather?
I mean, a little bit of a Carlin.
You want a fucking nickel?
Carlin kind of did that, dude. Right? A little Carlin?
I said nickel.
Can we call it a Carlin?
I think about that, but then I've had it long and it looks bad.
Does it?
Well,
I like it when I can
couple
pull
years
it back.
Ago, I had it. I slicked it back and I had just a mustache and it was a real good scumbag look.
I like that was the last time you were here.
Okay, yeah, and I was doing like tank tops under mesh shirts. But the thing is that's a character look. I don't want to be that every day. And so not going to do that, I feel like an asshole. I don't like, there's so many people like, holy shit, just how much time every morning is Johnny Depp just putting bracelets on? And that's Johnny Depp. Now think about the guy that you see that works at the phone case kiosk at the mall. That's just accoutrement. Like 45 minutes every day, you're doing eyebrow rings, moisturizing your face tattoo, bracelets, rings, just to stand adjacent to the Verizon store, hoping somebody wants a discounted iPhone 14 case. Like, I don't want to have to only put on this character look because I have a larger range of emotions than comedian who's a comedian all the time.
I get that. I completely understand that. Like, I
beards are pajamas. This is a full. Nobody expected much with a big beard.
I can't tell you the last time I've just had a clean shaven face. In my 20s, very early.
I do it occasionally to fuck with people when it's because as soon as they're like, okay, let's go back to the comedy thing. As soon as the fan base thinks they can have an agency over you or can govern how you should look or be,
that's weird.
I want to go against it entirely.
Go with the Carlin.
It's the as soon as I shave, everybody's like, this is terrible. You got to put it back. That's my real face. That's my actual face.
Nobody wants to see your face.
I know. And so that's why I need to do that every couple years to let people know I'm in charge.
It's like Jim Carrey. You're just playing the character of Kyle Kinane.
Is Bert Kreischer ever going to put a shirt on?
Is Jim Carrey Jim Carrey?
But Jim Carrey can still be... Jim Carrey's demonstrated he's an actor that's can act and be dramatic in this and that. I'm talking about a physical look where people demand you be this thing. As soon as it feels like it's being demanded of me, I need to not do it. Because I need to prove that I have agency over my existence, not a fan base.
I demand you leave the beard, grow a Carlin, and get fake glasses.
That's the worst advice I've ever heard.
Bro. Hang out at bookstores.
Grow your hair. Fake glasses.
Fake glasses. You say you're the one that suggested fake glasses.
For you.
Oh, for me? Because I was just... No.
No, LASIK in general as far as a survival element.
Yeah.
How many prescription glasses you got laying around that you can get through the day with?
I have... When I update, when I get new glasses, I get two pairs and then prescription sunglasses.
That's kind of like a thing.
And that'll last me about a year. Maybe I have to replace one.
My sister got LASIK, and so I did the whole joke about what if the shit goes down and then viewing the world through that lens. That's from my sister getting LASIK because we both had terrible vision and I was doing contacts. She just goes, what if the shit goes down? And she said that. And I've thought about every time at night, every time at night where I've just woken up and been like, oh, so what's going on? And if I went to bed drunk and leave my glasses in the living room or something, or I took my contacts out, the contact lens case is this big. Also, my vision's terrible.
Is it better now? Is it fixed?
It's LASIK.
Fixed.
Yeah.
How bad would it have to be to not be able to get new glasses?
I couldn't function in the world without corrective. I couldn't drive.
I get that, but for it to be like, no, it's got to be like a zombie apocalypse or like.
But I couldn't.
So what situation, like in reality.
On that sign behind you, I wouldn't be able to read Kansas City.
Yeah, that's okay. I get that. I have terrible eyesight.
Okay, so now. I'm living in Southern California at the time this went down.
You got Botox for the eyes.
Say there's an earthquake. Just something that shifts my glasses off the table on my nightstand. I can't see where the glasses went.
Okay.
That's all I needed here.
Okay. I see
blast
that.
Those lasers in there. Here's a dumb story. I had to get it done twice because I hadn't gotten an eye test in so long. Then when I got LASIK... I squinted at it because I thought it was like a DMV test. So I was like reading the letters by squinting at them because I thought I just wanted to pass a test. And then they corrected my vision to how I was squinting at it. And then when I got the LASIK, they corrected it. And I was like, oh, no, I fucked up. So they had to go back and do it a second time.
Do they use like your current prescription to determine?
You get an eye test. That's what I'm telling you. You get an eye test. I squinted at it because I thought my eyes hadn't gotten worse since I had hard contact lenses. So my eyes didn't deteriorate for a decade. My eyes stayed the same. Terrible, but never got worse. So I hadn't gone and gotten an eye test for years.
Is LASIK surgery? What is the process? You go get a test.
You go get an eye test.
Do they put a laser to shape your eye first?
You do a regular eye test, like you would be to get glasses. So now they have what your prescription is.
Okay.
Then you go in and they shave your eyeball. They sculpt your eyeball into the point. Yeah. And you can stand in the lobby and watch it happen. You can stand in the lobby and watch other people. My sister's a psycho. They give you a Valium as soon as you walk in.
It just makes my entire back cringe.
I know they give you a Valium as soon as you walk in.
What the fuck? I could never get contacts on because I didn't want things touching my
eyes.
Have
you had Valium? Because they straight up, boom.
Boom.
Right away. So much so that my sister got it done at the same time. She watched mine happen. You could watch it. They put it on a monitor and you're watching little lasers.
Oh my God.
And we were just gacked. It was great. I was blind. My mom.
I love it.
I'm blind in the parking garage, but also the most smell good. I don't really fuck with pills too often. And Valium. Holy shit.
How long ago was that? Can you just have this?
2014, 12.
So not too long ago.
12 years ago.
What a great moment for a parent with adult children to be able to take like two of your children.
My mom really needs my mom. There's no grandkids. And so for my mom to feel, I need to do something for my kids. It was like,
it's a fun moment.
Yep.
I could imagine.
Look at your bumbling adult children fucking around in a parking garage, laughing their ass off on pills.
And who can see everything.
Yeah. I'll get you home. I'll do this.
Do you need anything?
I could still get glasses for personality.
My mom would be like, can I bring you some food?
Does your mom still want to take care of you all the time?
My mom's a little older. Mm-hmm. And so she's like at this, like, I've done my shifts for the children this month. Like, right. And I'm a single dad. So, but she will step up and go above and beyond for that, like regularly. But if I ever needed anything, and whatever I need, my mom is still always there.
She lived nearby?
She does now. She was in Florida at one point, and then she moved back here after her husband passed away.
Yeah.
And be close to the grandkids. So now she's like 10, 15 minutes away.
That's nice.
It's nice. It is nice.
She make food for you guys. And
she's not the greatest cook. I'm a better cook. But, we'll eat.
Yeah.
She does stuff,
My mom's more of like, we always got chips and salsa. They always got Tostitos.
And the kids have friends in our neighborhoods. They love spending the night over there and stuff like that. It's great. I get a little time.
Well, you should get LASIK surgery. I feel like you're trying to wrap. Are you trying to wrap this up?
Well, she's trying to wrap this up. She told me 2 minutes.
We'll press stop. We're going now. You got anything you want to cover?
You can reset.
Any comedy subjects?
We can keep talking about.
We're getting into it. I told you. Now you're going to get me. Now you got me here. I'm here.
As you know, my kids are 10 and 11, almost 12, but I could see as a parent, grown children being like, oh, this is ridiculous. This is fun.
I've come to the...
Did you and your sister have, is it just the two of you?
Yeah.
Age difference?
A year and a half.
You guys get along or a lot? Because that's close.
No, real good.
Okay. She older?
Younger.
Were you protective?
No, she kind of had her shit together more than I did, so.
Okay.
It wasn't like, I didn't need to be. I should have done this joke at the open mic, but about how.
You did the open mic tonight.
I had bits. I had some new stupid bits. I'm like, oh, these don't fit anywhere in the set, and I can kind of just eat it. So let's go try these bits.
Let's go do open mic.
It still serves a purpose. No matter how good you are, open mic still serves a purpose.
Yeah.
But a bit about how I go back to my folks' house, and it's almost like a little too sad. where I look at the curio cabinet of all the hand-me-downs of my family, and I don't have kids, and my sister doesn't have kids, and we're not going to have kids. And I look at all these artifacts and hand-me-downs, and I'm like, oh, I think I need to have a kid just to
give shit to
burden somebody else. Because otherwise, like, oh, my God, like, I have crippling sentimentality. So, like, so
my kids want my
what
stuff
am I going to do with a Latvian Bible?
Dude, they want my stuff now. Can we, because I have collectibles, action figures. They'll be like, can we open that? Like,
but that's the thing. But, and so, okay, so to view
there,
that.
There was a rough Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, I think shortly after the club opened, and I was like, COVID maybe. It was rough. I'm like, I'm giving them fucking shit off my wall for Christmas this year. Like,
it was an investment opportunity.
They were the most excited.
I'm a shareholder in this company. Well, that's, I'm looking at all these things that are sentimental to the family lineage. I'm the last Canane. You know? And so the name's dying with me. And my sister's gay. And so they're not. And
she,
all, and
she's going to adopt. Are you going to adopt?
No. I mean, I'm not going to speak for her, but I don't think she, I don't think they're, her at and her partner point. Are planning on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what doesn't, their future
hasn't
is.
Happened at the, to this point.
Yeah. But everybody's in their mid to late 40s. Yeah. And so I'm just looking, I'm like, oh, my, you know, how much sentimentality exists in this one cabinet in my folks' house of like, fuck, I'm going to have to deal with this. Oh, if I just had a kid, I could be like, well, I don't know how to raise you, but man, take all this shit. Like, just you deal with it.
Is it weird knowing that your family name stops with you? Like, cause like, I know like, hey, my kids are wild. I think they're good people to carry on the name. My brother wouldn't have done it and yeah. I didn't do it on purpose, but like, I think I got a couple good ones ahead.
I mean, Canaanes exist, but not in the zone that, like, not in what our family, not in what my grandfather's name, not in this branch of the tree. And
do you have any other family that's carries a close second, doing cool shit?
Like how?
I don't know. Do you have any cousins? Who are authors?
Oh no, I have cousins. Yeah, I have cousins.
Any other comedian in your family?
That's what's real weird. They go pretty Midwest, and everybody kind of kept it doing the stuff, just living lives, you know, and not. Sometimes I just have you get hot spots yet on your body, like a dog. You ever get just like a weird part that itches, and it's not a bug bite or nothing?
Sure, I mean people itch.
But like just a patch, but it's not eczema. It's not a thing.
Yeah, it's just
there's nothing going on there.
You know what? This conversation is making my leg itch in one particular spot right now.
I got a spot on my inside of my knee.
It's on the outside of my.
Okay, but it doesn't show nothing.
I'm just going to.
There's nothing going on there. I just keep going at it. I get hot spots. I like to go back to the family thing. It was a little more meaningful than talking about hot spots.
You're in menopause.
Is that where we're getting some menopause?
Menopause, baby.
Yeah. The phrase perimenopause, I feel like I've never heard it my whole life and in the last 18 months. Well, the last 6 months of trying to date within my age parameters has been the perimenopause has been just the term, which, shit, you want to talk about a dude thinking you're going through a midlife crisis. We're like, oh, I don't know if I pursued my dreams. Women are like, well, my body is telling me that I'm done being a reproductive specimen. That's got to be way harder than, what if I'll never have a Porsche?
Can I ask you about your personal life?
What have we been doing?
So how long have you been single? This is
proper officially fall last year.
Okay. So like 6 months?
Yeah.
You were together for a while, right?
11 years.
A long time.
Yeah.
Is that scary at this age? We're about the same age. I'm just a couple years under you.
I'm not thrilled about it.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm so single, and I don't even know how with my schedule. You know, like, I have two kids. I have two clubs. I'm a single dad.
Yeah, you're a professional man with kids.
Bro, I know.
I don't have those factors, which may be better. You don't have enough free time to think about it.
I do think about it. Because I'm getting, you know, I dye this. This beard has been dyed recently. I've done it twice.
Oh, you keep that little wizard streak?
This was my first patch of gray, and I just keep it. I like it.
I was talking to, I can out Daniel Van Kirk. I'm like, you're dying the beard? He's like, yeah. I'm like, did I miss the window? He's like, yeah.
No, you could do it.
No, I can't.
Why?
It's too far gone.
It's not. It's not.
I don't care.
If you're trying to
date, I also don't care.
But you're probably not trying to date people who give a fuck about a gray beard or not.
I don't know what I'm trying to do.
Don't put that on me. I'm just trying.
No, I'm not making it's still too soon after such a long relationship for me to actually think about.
Good for you.
The next real thing.
Good for
and
you.
And I'm also not. I wish I could be a bit more of a whore without attaching so much to it.
Like, I understand that.
Like, hey, we're just two adults that want to do a fun thing.
And do you get attached easy?
Not attached, but I'm like, is this all right? Is it cool? What do you think? And then it's weird if I'm a comedian, if it's somebody that came to a show, because then there's that dynamic. It's like, oh, we didn't meet on a level playing field.
Right.
And so am I, we're having drinks after a show. Am I taking advantage? I can't get out
do
of
you
my.
Feel that?
I can never take a vacation from inside my head. And it's fucking it's exhausting, man.
I definitely have more limitations as a club owner than a comic. So it's like, not only am I not dating my employees,
argue that comics should have more limitations than this whole carte blanche. I'm a scumbag.
Like, I
is not doing great for our reputation as comedians.
I definitely dated and slept with comics as a comic, but like as a club owner, as soon as I became a club owner, done. Like, I'm not gonna build that reputation.
I don't want that reputation as a comic.
I just want to build a community. I don't want to be the guy who's going to, you want some stage time? Because I want to be allowed at my own clubs.
It's because it's every, he hits on all the comics. And so sometimes that grows. Other times it's like, well, is everybody just drinking at a bar like it's a bar anyway? Is he promising something? Or is it everybody's drunk flirting? I don't know, man. I'm sooner to just kind of step away from all of it and go like, it's all real muddy. And
weirdly met a girl at a gas station.
That's
where romance happens.
Nothing. Tell me about it.
And it stood out because it wasn't a dating app. And like, even one time, weirdly, like when I was like late teens, there was just this really cute girl pumping gas, and I just went up and talked to her, and then we ended up dating for a while, you know? And like that, I had that personality, and I was thinking about like, where's that person? And I'll tell you, that person did not show up to the gas station, because she's the one that like called me over. I walked away, and then she came back to ask for my number. Like, and I'm like, well, I'm glad that happened.
So you've never been that person.
I used to, but it was at a gas station. I'm like, so I connect. I'm like, hey, I was just thinking about meeting somebody at a gas station, and here I am. A fucking quick trip at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Kismet, as your people would say. I mean, Bronger joked about how I never met women. We'd go out to bars, and then women would come up to him and say, I'm taking him home with me, about me.
That's so funny.
Because I was just a rascal. I was never a pursuant. I was just being a ding-dong. And they're like, he's coming with me. And so that's the women I'm with are the ones like, you're mine. Come here.
Okay.
And I'm pretty good with that. I like that's where, because also that absolves me of any scumbaggery. Like, oh, no, you're the scumbag.
Yeah.
You're the scumbagger. I will be the scumbaggy.
Yeah, you approached me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, tight. No problem. But I don't know. I have no designs on what my future is supposed to be, or like think it needs to have.
Like what you said about meeting people at shows and am I taking advantage? And there's the other side to it as well, is like, what do they see in you? Is this because of your position, because of your placement? Like, is it organic? Is it real? Is it really about you, or is it what you do? And like, my kid's mom, it's a whole nother story, but it wasn't always like that.
Okay.
Right. I mean, it was.
How much of this are we going to edit out?
None. I'm not going to talk about all the shit that she's done, but what I'm going to talk about is like, when we got together, I was broke as fuck, dude. Yeah. I was fucking renting. I was sleeping in a partition living room, renting out my bedrooms, fucking cheap ass rent in LA.
Artist beginning, yeah.
Right? And then like, I don't know. I had this thought of like, well, at least I know that they like me for me coming into whatever happens in my future. Yeah. And then so like when you hit that point and you realize that like, okay, well, this is not going anywhere. And now I'm like, you know, in a different place in life. It's just going to be harder to find an organic, natural, you know,
yeah,
connection that I believe. Because I definitely doubt people's intentions.
Well, and that's if you meet somebody that's also on a level of like you truly do have your own thing going on. You're not relying on my thing going on. I'm almost 50, man. I'm not.
I want to be a part of your thing.
I'm not trying to scoop up some 25. Like, all these stories about like whatever basketball team owners. Like she just liked my smile. You're a 75-year-old ghoul. Are you just saying that because you know it's hilarious and she's laughing and you're like, yes, here's $50,000 for laughing at my joke. We know why this is a relationship, and they just laugh at the press having a field day. I don't want that. I would love to meet somebody that's like where it's more of like, I'm fascinated with what you got going on.
Yeah. I want to be interested in you.
Oh shit, you're very busy. Interesting.
Very interesting.
But I'm not looking to do any of that right now.
It's all right. It's good to take time off. I was so angry when we separated, just the way shit went down. Like I was in no position to date.
How long have you been separated for?
Oh, bro, since 2019.
Okay.
Like, it ended like about a month after he opened. I was at work, and then she took the kids and left the state. I came home to a note. Oof. That her mom walked her through this whole fucking process. Oof. It took me like 4 months, $20,000. It was a fucking...
How long were you together before that? We're getting deep here.
About 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it just kept getting worse and worse. Like the shit she would just continue to fucking do. It just kept...
Are you humane with her now?
I hate her.
Okay.
Not just for that, but she's like even teaching the kids that she's just not a reliable, trustworthy person, and that they see that.
I can't imagine being in a situation like, well, we have to make sure these turn out to be good people with both our efforts put into
them. I have full custody.
Oh, yeah.
They're with her every other Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Just a Friday night.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I don't know what went on, but not even a whole weekend. Damn.
20.
Just a Friday night.
Friday night. Friday night. It's all right. Yep. And, you know, and that's pushing it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Have you had relationships?
Since
then?
I have attempted with things that I probably should. Like,
it's a real funny podcast right? Good thing we went for the hour.
Like, as the things that make me question whether I'm a masochist or not for putting myself into those situations.
Oh, with
like, why do I just, you know what I mean? Just the wrong fuck. And I'm like, this is fucking horrendous. Like, why would I continue fucking? So no, I haven't had any like real, I haven't had any like long standing relationships.
Yeah.
Yet.
I feel like I should make more jokes right now. Why? We got we got emotional. We got real about stuff.
It's okay.
And it wasn't all ha-ha funny.
I've been single for 7 months. I couldn't fake laugh.
I know.
They turned into tears.
It doesn't work. I've questioned.
Is this real? What's happening?
How much? Are you really crying?
No, I don't think so.
You can if you want to, man. I got you, buddy.
I don't cry.
Well, maybe it's your problem.
Can we hug?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to hug. Of course, we're going to hug you, a little Grateful Dead bear. I got you, buddy. I've had moments where I've had such in-depth emotional confessions to the cats. Not cool guys I hang out with. where I've like, oh, I've had a breakthrough with my feelings because there was just a living thing there.
Are you a cat guy?
Yeah.
You have cats?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a dog?
No.
As a comic, it's impossible.
No, and I also don't want, I want the judgment.
Of the cat? They definitely do it.
Now we're going back into joke territory, but I think dudes that have dogs are so proud of, like, look at how it listens to me. Like, that should be a red flag for a woman, is if a dude's like, I like dogs because I can get them to behave, where dudes with cats are like, they're doing what they want. Free will. Sometimes we eat together, but most of the time they're just doing whatever they want. That's the dude you want. That's the dude that's going to not worry about your life.
I was always a cat guy. Dogs wanted a dog. Now I got a dog.
Dogs are fucking awesome, dude. I'm not saying they're not great.
He comes when I come. He sits when I sit. He likes string cheese, and I taught him to shut the door.
That first sentence.
Somebody kidnapped him for a second yesterday.
Okay, let's unpack everything that just happened. He comes when I come. Gross.
Oh my God.
You said it, and I went into comedy mode.
When I say like, come, he comes when I say come.
No, you said he comes when I come.
Oh, that's not what I meant.
And, well, now it's back to being a comedy podcast, isn't it?
We're on the Ruffstein list.
Hold. Come. No, it did not deserve an act out. It wasn't funnier than the words. No, I get why they're companions and they're good buddies. Well, that was a joke I did at the open mic, which I'm like, oh, I never did this. It's an open mic. Like, oh, nothing says I like, or like people that have electro, like my neighbors have the electric fence for their dog. I'm like, nothing says this is my best friend. Like, I love you more than anything, and I'll electrocute you if you try to leave. Like, that's not a relationship I want with my animals.
You watched a lot of the open mic. Do you watch many mics on the road at clubs? Do you hang out usually? Or
not? If this happened to be after the show we did, but
yeah.
Portland, I go to the one on Tuesdays at Helium pretty often.
Okay.
And that's great
that you still get on and you still work out.
It's also my buddies are hanging out there. It's an excuse to have beers with my pals, but also I go up there and I bomb regularly at the Helium open mic because I'm drunk, which is bad. Second off, I hate seeing people like, I've been there since 2020, 6 years in, I'm watching people doing the same jokes at the open mic. You know it works. Fuck off. You're just doing this because you need to feel good. There's people, it's their first time. There's people that need stage time. If you know these jokes work and you've been doing them for 4 years, get the fuck out of here. That's a hard stance I'm going to take. Joke works. You're done. This is the open mic. Go bomb. Be bad. This is where it's okay to be bad. Also, yeah, I get you got to try a joke out 4 or 5 times, but years in, these people are going up for the ego stroke, and I cannot stand it. I hold comedy too close to my heart to see people abusing, like, I just need to feel good again this week. Fuck you.
Like, I've told some of my house comics who, like, do work regularly, even if they're just MCs, and they work regularly. I'm like, why are you doing your act at the open mic, my man? Like, you get paid to do that here. You should be working on new stuff here.
There's the third club owner I've heard that's been like, if I see you do the same jokes you did last week, you don't get to come back here for a month.
Jesus.
It's an open mic. Fail. Like him saying, like a club owner saying, I want to see you fail because I want to see you trying to progress. I don't want to see you going, look, you know how this worked? It's going to work again. It's not what the open mic is for. And I have to get my ego out of the way. There's part of me that wants to, it's very ego stroking, just do a free comedy class in Portland and go like, uh-oh, what? X-Files is starting?
No.
What's happening?
I was a phone call. It's my manager in Lawrence. It's all right.
What's going on in Lawrence?
I'll figure out.
What's happening with your people in Lawrence?
It's fine there. I'm sure it's fine. It's 12 o'clock.
All right. Well, I just wanted to be like,
God, is it
really? I just want to sit people down and say, like, this is what you need to stop doing. I can't make you better, but I can tell you what you're doing that's making you worse. But it's an ego thing. I don't know anybody else's process.
Are you nice to, at the open mic, are you nice to comics who eat shit after they get off stage?
I think I am, but I'm sure that opinion's different. Nice to comics that I know are good, but then they bomb.
Yeah.
But comics that are bad and they bomb.
Will you be honest with them? I think that's
I'm asked, I'm not going to unsolicitedly
be like, that was rough.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Like, we grew up with, like, Chris Porter and a few other people who were just wonderfully honest with the young community. Like, you get off stage after eating shit and you're, like, laughing or smiling, they would literally just be like, what are you smiling about?
Yeah.
It's like, ah, we got to get funny.
No, it's a sensitive, like, I was just hanging out with somebody. It's like, oh, I just, like, did you get off stage and somebody's like, I got a bunch of tags for you. Why don't you take a fucking break? Oh, you got tags for me. You're 4 years in and you got tags for me?
You ever listen to them?
No. It's usually on the road where somebody local is like, and again, I'm not trying to sound like an asshole, but I've been in the game for a minute. And there's some people that just, they think they got the swagger and like, I got some tags. I'm like, that's great. I got some friends to say hi to. Dude, I politely listen. I'm not trying to be a dick, but like sometimes it's just, buddy, don't, unless you're friends with somebody, don't offer tags. You got to be friends to be like, hey, you know what you do? I think I can make it better. You better be friends. Don't be a stranger.
On any level?
Taking that back, I have absolutely seen newer comics where I presented, I'm like, hey, how do you feel about tags? I don't want to mess with your process. I thought of something that might make this bit more interesting. I try to present it as like, yeah, I've been around the block a bit. I don't want to offend you by any means. But then that's the ego thing of me going, well, I know what's better right now. And I need to put that
in check. I love offering tags to people. I do.
Who, but do you know them? How do you present it? How do you say it?
Hey, I have an idea for you, but yeah, maybe I know them. Oh, there's been times like, but I have good relationships with my comics here. There's been a few.
Is that weirder as a club owner to say I have a tag for you versus, well, hey, what are you doing Friday night? It's also the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, you didn't take that tag? All right, we'll see if you get stage time next week.
I don't think it's like that.
I know, I'm fucking with you.
We
need to end this podcast.
She
wants to leave.
She gave me the second.
You're getting phone calls from your other club.
We're wrapping up, but I wanted to do one thing different. First, I saw. I never do this. I never open my phone.
Get an oranger phone case.
I saw a thing on social media. It was from the New York Post. It said, "Just in breaking, Chuck Norris, 86, rushed to the hospital in Hawaii after medical emergency." No Chuck Norris joke in that. Just very like, aw. But I clicked on it because I'm like, oh, these comments. I'm like, the comments in this.
The format. Let's go to the format for the common folk. The Chuck Norris joke.
I didn't even tag any. I just knew that this had to have been. And then reading that is, if you can. And
how old is he?
86.
Let him go.
Did he have to perform surgery on a surgeon? You mean the medical emergency had a Chuck Norris?
Right. Straight up going
to. I'm just scrolling. After being rushed to the hospital, he immediately started doing brain operations on patients while simultaneously delivering babies.
This feels like tomorrow morning, Friday morning, at an office job I don't want to be at, and you're my boss.
He drove the ambulance.
That's what this feels like right now. No, wait. No, I like it. Just a couple more, and then we'll go over numbers.
Chuck Norris doesn't go to the hospital. The hospital goes to Chuck Norris. Chuck, same person, doubled down. Chuck Norris doesn't have a medical emergency. Medical emergencies have a Chuck Norris.
Is this cutting into my lunch break? Like, or will I get this time back? Can I leave earlier because I listen to these?
This person, very nice. Who is he saving? Who is he saving? It says. Still over 2 minutes? Perfect.
I feel like this isn't a union violation. You're a comedy club owner reading New York Post comments to your headliner. This is
a Why don't you write like that? What the fuck?
The reason you're only playing one of my two clubs. Have you thought about being as funny as the comment section of the New York Post?
You're so funny.
Shut the fuck up. Is the open mic still going?
At this point, I doubt it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
A lot of people excited for it.
Bro, this has been great.
How long was this half hour podcast?
An hour. All right. Yeah, we did it an hour. I like it. Find Kyle Kinane, man.
That was the find him.
Find him.
He's missing.
What's your social?
Fucking find Kyle Kinane. Help us find Kyle Kinane.
Help us find him. Help us find Kyle Kinane. I mean, I know where he is, but I don't know where he's going to be. You don't know where he is, technically. You might, but not really.
Turn the cameras around. Look at this room.
Don't. Do not.
This is a hot. I need a copy of today's newspaper.
I mean, it looks good on camera.
Also, why nobody could forge a newspaper? That was the proof of life?
He's single, ladies. He's vulnerable. He's drinking again. He is ready for you. Come find him. He's touring up until probably May or June. Then you're going to take the summer off, ride bikes?
Yeah, I'm just going to be in Oregon. I love being it. A hippie.
I love that. I love that for you. All right, thank you for doing this.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, follow us at the Comedy Club, KC, LFK. Go see a show. Bye.